Any of you having trouble getting cold tonight, I'll offer you the warmest spot in the house right now.
Still,
they were many in that day that it says here that he preached the gospel of the kingdom. You know, Jesus did a lot of healing, but he did a lot more preaching. You know, I've never heard Jesus' audible voice. But I tell you what, if you sit under the sound of the gospel from God called man, you're hearing a message from Jesus. Now, I've heard them messages. And they've been backed up by the same power that his preaching was backed up. You know, these miracles and these healings, it demonstrated who he was. He'd give it authority. I tell you what, when the Spirit of God deals with our hearts, it gives that word authority.
Amen.
It gives it power. So many of these people were followers of Jesus. You know, a lot of people take this Sermon on the Mount and they think that Jesus was teaching people how to live to be reconciled. But he wasn't. He was teaching hope that we're reconciled, how to live righteous. Yeah, he gave a warning to the lost and then, or those that were trying to, by their works, justify themselves. You go to the end of the 7th chapter thereabouts, and he talks about that there'll be many in that day that will say, "Lord, Lord, hadn't we did many marvelous things in thy name?" He says, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." You know, this message I said, that I think it was to his followers, those that he said had, his disciples were with him. I tell you what, many of those that heard Jesus, the preacher, preaching the kingdom. Tell you what, I've heard it from a God called man that affected my heart through the Spirit. I tell you what, I imagine Jesus preaching in the Spirit. I heard it from a feeble man, but God used it and it had effect. You know, even in the fifth chapter here, the 13th verse, He is addressing those people. He said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." He wasn't talking to the lost. He was talking to his followers, those that have believed in him. He also told them that ye are the light of the world. That's what we are. We're the salt. We're the light. World won't get it any other place. To his followers. You know, I said that we started a new year. You know, the most important thing, if there's anybody here tonight, is not saved. Jesus told us he didn't beat around the bush when he talked to the lost. You know, there was a religious man that come to him. He didn't beat around the bush. He told him, "You must be born again."
Amen.
He was I'm sure he knows how to treat people in a way that would be pleasing. They were religious people. They had the Old Testament. They had the law. But you can't reconcile yourself. You know, in the 2 Corinthians there, Paul puts it pretty plainly. You know, if you haven't been saved, that's the most important thing in this year that you could desire. To be born again. To be made a new creature. You can't reconcile yourself through works. Paul said it plainly here. He says, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to him by Jesus Christ."
Amen.
To reconcile something is to be made back into a right relationship. can't live good enough to reconcile ourselves to God. But I tell you what, Jesus lived good enough and paid our debt on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
To reconcile the whole world back to God. God will accept that. That's all that I've said, friend. What Jesus did. But this message here tonight, I pray that if there's any loss, that that's your number one desire for this year. Be born again. Be made that new creature in Christ. That old thing passed away. All things become new. We have that happen. It can happen. It happened in 1977 to an 11-year-old boy. God's still saving today. We wouldn't be here tonight. God's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But this message tonight, what are we looking for in this year? We don't have to look far, people. No, but things are looking pretty bleak in our churches, in our homes, in our nation, in the world. Why? God promised to give us everything we need to serve Him. Is the problem with God? No. We must delight. Must lay with us. We got too many excuses, Brother Miller. Got too many things in this world that we let stand in our way. You know, I said that this message tonight, just real simple, real common. Here comes the preacher of preachers. The very one that multitude of people followed out into the wilderness. No food around. Wasn't no convenience store down the road. But we got it easy, people. These people had a desire to learn. They had a desire to follow. They had a desire to serve. We got it easy. You know, even with the heat not working right, it's not so bad in here. Not so bad. You know, there may be some said, well, I'm not going back tonight. It's a little cold in there today. I'm sure it'll be cold tonight. I tell you what, the Spirit of God will come back and warm up the cold that's about. You won't think about the temperature. Been God's people have endured some mighty hard things, but they didn't do it alone. We got a promise. Jesus said He'd never leave us or making it you got. Yeah, I have trouble. Very things that Jesus was probably the greatest multitude around him at one time. You think he wouldn't tell them the important stuff? Sure he did. Sure he did. There's a problem, people. We need to look ourselves. What do we really want 2016? Jesus said, lay not up treasures for yourself upon earth. He said, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. He said, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. Pretty plot. Pretty simple, isn't it? You reckon the heard something on the news this morning that there was a million tickets a minute last night sold for people want to lay up some riches. That's a whole bunch. Are they more worried about laying up riches on earth? You get that money, oh yeah, you can do a lot of things with it. Have an easy life, I guess, as some people might think. No. Tell you what, when you die, you'd leave it all behind. Amen. Wouldn't do you a bit of good. Nope. You can bury every bit of it with you, and it's still be nothing. Tell you what, you could have that $1 billion. Lose your health. That quick. Wouldn't do you a bit good. Tell you what, you can lose your health that quick. But you can call on the Lord. That'll do you some good. Lay up, not treasures on earth, but lay in heaven. Pretty simple message Jesus was teaching these followers. He wasn't telling the unsaved, try to lay up something in heaven, they don't even have a home there. He's telling his followers. He goes on and says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single or healthy, he said, the whole body shall be full of light. Jesus said that we're the light of the world. You know, the wise man Solomon, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talked about vision. That's what this is talking about. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. What are we looking for, people? These people perishing right now. Right this very minute. We could be light, but we've got to have a healthy eye. It's got to be singular. Oh, Jesus said, he said, but if thy eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkened, how great is that darkness? We the light of the world. If our eyes is full of evil, we're carnal minded. We're not thinking about the things of God. There's a darkness in our church, in our home, in our community, in our country, in this world. What Jesus said, how great is that darkness? Hey, this is the message that Jesus was teaching his followers. He's teaching us today. It still holds true. Says no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and man.
Amen.
We believe Jesus knows what he's talking about. Absolute truth, what he preached. No error about it. It was good that day standing up on that mountain, and it's good today. It's true. Absolute truth. You know what about absolute truth? You can't add or you can't take anything away from it. You don't have to try to prop it up with some theory. You don't have to try to prop it up with some explanation. It will stand on its own. Just stand it today. You cannot. Didn't say, well, if you're lucky, you might do a little of both. He just put it plain. Didn't beat around the bush. You cannot serve God and man. Worldly thing. We can't do it. Is there a problem in our churches, home, country? Problem with God? No. Where's it laid? I believe we all point up to those answers to those. Then I cry. It's hitting me too. Been getting it all evening. If you've been saved by the grace of God, there's not a one of us immune to this. It applies to all of us. He said, that's teaching his followers now. How they ought to live. How they ought to think. How they ought to present themselves to the world. What it's going to take to serve him. That's what this Sermon on the Mount's about. Therefore I say unto ye, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on, is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? We spend a lot of time thinking about a lot of things that really don't amount to nothing. Really don't matter nothing. I might not have the best suit of clothes, but thank God I've got some clothes. They'll do just fine. I'm not worried about what best suit J.C. Penney's has got out there that I might put on. Really doesn't matter. Don't look at her clothes. Look at her heart. not much better than they? We might not all have ribeye tomorrow, but I bet God provides us something. Thank God that we live in a country that we don't have to worry about our food. You know, there's many places in this world, I've called, you've seen it firsthand, that people worry about food. But you know, they're still living. God provides. He provides. He's saying here that he said the Heavenly Father feedeth them. He'll feed us. We'll give God our best effort. Or he'll take care of us. Yet if we starve to death, if you're a child of God, you'll just be hungry until you get to that table that he's sitting in heaven. Amen. Then you'll be fed for eternity. Amen. That's what Jesus said. He said, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Boy, how much time do we spend worried about things that we can't even change? I do. Spend time worrying and fretting over stuff that really make no difference. Jesus thought it was important for these people to hear this. So he told them. He preached it to them. He says, and why take ye thought for your raiment? He said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Amen. Boy, it might not look like much on the outside, but we see what God put on the inside. That's what we need to focus on. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Spend a lot of time fretting over a lot of stuff. He takes care of the grass of the field, makes it beautiful. We think he'll take care of us. Something that he'd give his only begotten son for. Spoke those things into position. All that we see, he spoke it into existence. You know, he couldn't speak the salvation of our soul into existence. It took a price to pay. And Jesus paid. Think what love. Consider what love that God has for us. He said, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, we're worried about things tomorrow, but tomorrow might not even get here. Yeah. him the truth. Jesus said all these things. He told his disciples. Can we be carnal-minded? Sure we can. We spend too much time there. We carnal-minded, but we can't even comprehend the law of God. Can't be subject to it. For in the flesh we cannot please God. We all fight that battle with the flesh. We're all still here and living. You know, this flesh won't make it to heaven. No, it won't. God will create a new one. New body for our soul that he saved to dwell in. Why? Because this fleshly body is cursed. Got a sin problem. Sin won't enter in before God. Okay? Can't stand. We couldn't exist. He'll give us a new one. But till then, we're stuck in this fleshly body. We've got a carnal mind, but we have a spirit that dwells within us. You've been saved by the grace of God. You've got a spirit. His spirit dwells within us. We'll never be perfect. But Jesus told us how we ought to think, how we ought to treat other people, how we ought to try to serve him. He's given us grace. But we got to follow. Can we be carnal-minded? Yeah, we can. You know, Paul writing to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he talked about our works. They're going to be tried by fire. We couldn't be carnal-minded. They'd all be good. We'd all be doing that. But you know, some of them will be hay, wood, and stubble. Put them to the fire and see what happens. We'll suffer loss. But we ourselves will be saved in the fire. We won't have to endure the fire. But that's not what God desires for us. That's not what he saved us for. For the wood, hay, and stubble. He served us. He saved us to be servants. To be followers. Pretty simple. Simple message. I would instruct all of us to read the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of Matthew. You want to have a goal for 2016? Read the Sermon on the Mount. See what we ought to be. I tell you what, if we'll do what we're supposed to do, I guarantee you God will do what he said he'll do. He'll provide it for us. He's never failed once. It won't ever. Oh no, but we carnal minded. This was written to followers now. Let's listen to this. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doing them and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man. Buildeth his house upon a rock. He said, and the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. You've been saved, your salvation is founded upon a rock. The rock. That's the Lord Jesus. But I tell you what, if we want our lives to really matter, said, but everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which buildeth his house upon the sand. Talking to his disciples now. I know you could use this in about being saved, about building on a rock, but look at this. He's talking about our lives and what we build there on. Wood, hay, or stubble, or precious thing. Godly thing. He says, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great the fall of it. Do we want lives that actually matter? We follow our own ways, the things of this world, the things that Satan puts out before us. We just build it on sand, people. Yeah, we'll still be saved. Those that are saved, you'll still be saved, but your life will come to a crash. You'll be in no service to God. For in the flesh, we can't please God. What do we want? What I want. Consider these things. Look around us, people. We want to be alive. Or we want to cast out darkness. How great that darkness could be. That's what the Lord put on my heart tonight. Pray that I'll use it. Each and everything I do, every morning when I wake up. We're in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. I plan on going to work tomorrow, have to make some money, but God will give me the ability if I need it. Go. I can provide for what I need. If I put him first, he'll take care of the rest. That's what Jesus. God bless you. That's my message tonight. We might have a song. Most important thing, have you been born again? Desire that if you haven't. I pray that each of us, I hope that the Lord will use this in some way. It might help somebody. I know I need it. May God bless you, brother. We might come around and shake hands. Let's pray for one another. You know we need it. It's not just me in a battle. Each and every one of us are in this same battle. You know, we united with this church. We said that we'd strive to do this. Together. So we try to be the light of the world. Thank you.
Go ahead, Brother Aaron.
Page 197.
Page 96.